88.9 is KWXC Grove, Oklahoma. Christian Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Proverbs 31:30, Woman to Woman. This is Sharon Hoskins, and I just want to welcome you back from the new year. We had a great Christmas holiday and a great new year, ringing in the new year of 2017. And I'm here in the studio with Janie Ratzliff. Hi, Janie.
Hi, Sharon.
It's so good for you to be here, and you've become quite the fixture right here in the studio with me.
Well, you've given me a really good chair to sit in, so I'm very comfortable, except for the weather today. That's a bit challenging.
It is cold out there.
So we're getting to use the virtue of perseverance.
Yeah.
In being here. And to our listening audience, if our teeth chatter a little bit, please take that into consideration today.
Yeah, really. Well, Janie, I've asked you to be a part of this ministry with me. You filled in for me October through the last of October, all the way through December this past year. And we got to talk about depression and bitterness and forgiveness and God's promises. And, you know, there was just so much that you were able to bring to us. And through the past 6 months, you have really become a mentor to me, not because I asked you to be, but because every time I'm with you, I walk away encouraged. I walk away strengthened in my faith and uplifted in the Lord. And I just really feel like that the Lord has brought us together for this purpose, to be able to do that for the listening audience.
And I'm very, very blessed that you would be able to see Christ in me, because that's what it's all about.
Yes.
I'm sure there's times that my family might want to argue that point with you, but that's why we're here today, to find the new ways to start to live, or to embellish the ways that we've already been living, but we need to have a greater dependency. So I assure you that there is never a one-way street in mentoring. You mentor me. You have blessed me. You have taken an older woman and given her new goals, new challenges. You've encouraged me that I can still let the Lord have his perfect way in me, and that we get, we're never too old to be in active service for him. Amen. Even sometimes when we move a little slower,
yes,
that he still wants to use us right up to the day that he calls us home. So I feel like I'm the one that's blessed, and I am so looking forward to seeing how he wants to mesh our minds so that he alone can get the glory.
Amen. Amen. Well, this month we are going to be talking about new ways, or ways to start the new year right. And one of the things that I believe that we must do is look at where we've been. And so reflecting over on 2016 and all the turning points are so important. When we have a turning point in our walk with the Lord, we need to recognize that turning point, recognize that stepping stone. Because stepping stones can become a stone to step on and to lift ourselves up to the next level, or it can be a cliff we fall off of. And mm-hmm. So if we don't have our bearings and know where we are and realize where God has us, then it's easy for us to fall off the cliff.
Yes, and we see that happening today because there are so many threats and distractions, all the way from the culture that we live in and the fact that the culture has invaded the church as a whole. So there's so much compromise. Listening to the news at any time of the day is startling mm-hmm. and scary. Mm-hmm. And yet the Lord says he holds all things in the palm of his hand. So there are many things that I believe we all need to be grounded in, or like Paul said, I need to repeat it to you three or four times so that you get it.
Yes.
And so I believe that we can provide some of that in the weeks ahead.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we want to do is reflect on 2016. And so as an individual in your walk with God, what is at least one turning point or one thing that God taught you last year that you can build upon for this year?
To overcome the valid, not an excuse, but old age, chronic pain, pain that where the Lord says, I sent the word and it brought healing, and you still get up and you wonder how you're going to get through the day. And there's a lot of people that listen to us today that live with chronic pain, and the results from that can be a great distraction. Pain fights for the first place of focus with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Pain says, I demand this, I demand that, and the Lord says, but I have already provided. Finding that balance is really a walk of faith. And so learning to not listen to your senses, not listening to your emotions.
Okay.
And when I say your senses, that includes I wake up with a headache, or I wake up with severe pain, or it's hard to walk, or it's hard to focus. Okay, what are my choices? To lay back down and throw in the towel? To cry out to God for something instant that he may decide he has a different process for, and then to look at the truth of the scripture. He says, praise me in everything, rejoice, concentrate on this. And so I've learned in reflecting that choosing to just say, Father, in the gentleness that your spirit provides me, I'm going to start to bring every thought captive. And so I've had to talk to myself. Pain, there's a little old saying, go away, come again another day.
No.
All right?
Yeah.
And then to still start to move, but not forcing it. Some of us feel like we've got to get up and go on no matter what. But it's taught me that when the distractions are great, then coming apart and being alone with him and focusing on him, he's always faithful. And then in doing that, the strength has come, because he says that we now operate through the power of God in us. So to recap, I believe that I am learning and have learned how to operate in the power of God, even when in a state of weakness.
Wow, that's a lot for your one thing. Wow, Janie.
Well, I've got a whole list of one things here, too, that hopefully we'll get to in the next few weeks. But okay, that has been maybe one of the biggest challenges, because the Lord blessed me with excellent health for 70 years. And when you've just had excellent health and then all of a sudden we go off the cliff, as you mentioned, on the stepping stone. Okay, then trying to claw your way back up or see how the Lord wants to lift you up can become a series of mind games as well as heart yielding back to the Lord.
Amen. Well, as I look back over 2016, I can take everything from 2016 back to April. And I've shared this before, and I will continue to share it because it changed my life. And not that I didn't love the Lord before April 2016, but my love for him grew after I forgave.
Yes.
Understanding how to forgive. Bruce and Tony Hebel came to our church here at Grace Harbor Baptist in Grove, and they shared the 7 protocols of forgiveness, how to forgive, what it means to forgive, what forgiveness really looks like, and those protocols to go through, how to get you through that process. We always talk about, you know, forgiveness being a process. Well, it's just a process I'm working on. Okay, but, you know, sometimes we can work on that for years and years and years and years and years and years and never have the fullness or the peace that comes with these protocols. And it helps us go through that process. And so I would encourage you, if you're listening today and you have a heartache, you don't know how to let go, you don't know how to move past, you don't know how to forgive, you don't know how to, you've forgiven and it just keeps coming back, I would encourage you to go to forgivingforward.com and find some help, because Bruce and Tony are phenomenal. The 7 protocols of forgiveness, actually, I felt like I could breathe. I mean, it just, when I went through those protocols, I forgave 3 people at that time and 1 after that in the process of the 2016 year. And the 3 people that I forgave, one of them was me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even realize that I had held on to things, you know, and not forgiven myself for things. So
what was the result? You had some struggles because you couldn't forgive yourself. Can you elaborate a little bit on where you felt your unworthiness or some of the things that you said that you struggled with?
It was just the failures. You know, I believed that I had failed God in so many areas of my life, not just one, just many, many areas of my life, because I had always wanted to serve the Lord. And when I had the opportunity, I felt like that I had not done a good job with it. Mm. And so I felt like I had failed him in so many ways, failed my family, failed my kids, you know, I mean, just with different things. I just felt like a huge big old failure, you know, decisions that I'd made, things that I had done, you know, just everything.
Was
and
that
so
more
failure overtook me.
Was that more of a focus then in your daily walk than looking unto the Lord Jesus? Did you subtly, without maybe recognizing it or not?
It was in the background. And
okay.
So it hindered a lot of my conversations, you know, my conversation with him, even though I thought I was having a conversation, it was more about, you know, I am so sorry, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? How are you going to use me now? You know, what are you going to do with me? You know, do you even still love me? You know, are you,
oh, oops,
you know? And so there was just a lot of things, and it I can't boil it down to one, because, you know, as a, you know, older lady, you know, there's a lot of history there. I've been a Christian for 16 years, 17 years now. And so when you look at all of that time, not realizing that you hadn't forgiven yourself for, you know, silly things that you did as a baby in Christ, all the way up to, you know, older ministry stuff, you don't realize that all the things that you're hanging on to. And so as I went through those protocols and forgave myself and the other people, even from my childhood,
mm-hmm,
people from
mm-hmm.
my childhood that I didn't even realize I hadn't forgiven, there was, I could just feel my chest.
A release. You
know, a release.
And
in my chest. I could breathe in more air. It felt like there was a balloon in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And so to this day, I keep a balloon by my beds just to remind me.
Wow.
You know, that was one of the things Tony told me when she went through those protocols with me. She said, you know, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like there's a balloon in my chest, like I can breathe in. And she said, I would suggest you get a balloon to put where you can see it to remind you. And that's something that I do to remind myself to never go back to unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. To always mm-hmm. check, make a check of myself at night before I go to bed. Is there anyone I need to forgive? Do I need to forgive myself for anything? And so forgiveness was huge for me last year. Huge. And at that point, you know, from April on, you know, God has just grown me and helped me draw closer to Him. He's opened doors of opportunity. He put you in my path, and He's evolved this radio show from me sitting on the sidelines, you know, hoping somebody will take over and talk the whole 30 minutes to listen to me go now.
Oh, that's why you got me on here. Now we know.
So, you know, when he gave me this show to do, I was scared. I thought, you know, nobody's going to want to listen to me. I'm going to make a fool of myself. And so I just come to realize that if I make a fool of myself, I've made a fool of myself for the Lord. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And because I know without a shadow of a doubt that He put this show in my path, He's put this station on my heart, and He's led me in this direction. And so as I look past at 2016, I can say that God has done awesome things. And one thing about our failures that I want to bring out, our failures, our, you know, our foolishness, all those things. And this is going to sound like a rabbit trail, but I promise it's going to make sense in the end. Right. But my husband and I are working on remodeling our kitchen.
Yes.
And we started, he's building cabinet doors, and I have started painting. And when I was painting those cabinet doors, I started doing a treatment on them to enhance, you know, the beauty, so to speak. And what I found was that the more imperfect those doors were, the more beautiful the cabinet door was.
Because of the grain. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, leave the wood fill out. Don't put that wood fill in. You know, let me see all those imperfections. Let me see all of those. And so many times I was doing a treatment on one yesterday, it made me think about how God is so beautiful. And as Christians, we're always trying to put wood fill on.
Yeah,
we're always trying to cover up our imperfections and look so perfect.
And maybe we should put a different word to that. Maybe we should call what you're calling imperfection, maybe we should call them unique designs. Each one giving out its own quote unquote testimony of how that mm-hmm. wood was grown.
And so it just made me see how beautiful God is. When we reveal the imperfections of who we are and the beauty that He is.
Well, and you know, we won't do that until we're willing to have a spirit of brokenness and humility. Yeah. As long as we think we can get that, I won't use any proper names here, but as long as we can get certain cosmetic perfection that we're always shown on advertising, then we all just look like little beautiful robots. I look at many of these young ladies today and I can tell, yeah, I know what store they've been to get the look that they have. Mm-hmm. But one thing, Sharon, that comes to my mind when you talk about this and you're forgiving yourself, two things I'd like to say to anybody that may be exactly where you were and still saying, please give me something that I can go on now. And that is, if you can't forgive yourself, rest in the forgiveness right now that has already been secured for you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there are emotional issues that we need to work out in forgiving ourselves and accepting mm-hmm. and moving on with joy. But you and I have both talked about taking your will, and you willed when Tony and Bruce came, you made a definite choice. You made a definite will. then give yourself, and you have, I know you have, and others, but give yourself the grace to let the emotions come lagging behind. They are not going to want to give up their position and their seat of authority. And so some people may battle the emotions of their choice.
Right. And the thing that helped me was reminding myself, I distinctly remember forgiving that. And as those emotions come, as you know, whether it's Satan trying to keep you down or your own emotional feelings trying to take over, standing firm in the fact that I distinctly remember forgiving that, saying that out loud and praying through that is a miracle. That's what helped me get through the process so quickly. I mean, within days. I mean, I forgave and there was a balloon in my chest and yes, everything was wonderful until hours later when, you know, thoughts fall in and emotions start to try to take over. And then you go, whoa, wait a minute. I distinctly remember forgiving
that choice. Yeah.
And then the next day comes and, you know, the emotions try to take over and the thoughts come in and you go, whoa, I distinctly remember forgiving that. And that sentence helped me get through within days. No more thoughts, no more emotions. I promise you, if you are struggling with forgiving, go to forgivingforward.com. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Those protocols changed my life and they'll change yours.
Well, and for some people, if you remember in Psalms 55, the author there said, if it had been people from the outside, my enemies, I could have handled it. But this was my friend. This was the person that I ate with that has caused me to be so wounded and consequently having unforgiveness. And I do believe that when it is sometimes the closest people in your family or maybe in your workplace, then especially if they say that they are your sister or brother in Christ, then you kind of have some expectations that you would think that they would respond with. So Ann Lotz Graham has written a book that I think we should at least make aware of, and it's called Wounded by Godly People. And she has absolutely taken the story of Hagar and brought out points that I had never thought about on how we get wounded by godly people doing something that the Lord told them to do. But the circumstances and how it evolved were not made clear at the time, and the consequences were terrible for a season or maybe many years. And so that's another reason why I think people struggle so with forgiveness. If it's this enemy out here that you know wants to put your lights out, then that's one thing to forgive and turn away. But when it's someone that is of the family, the principles that you're speaking of are exactly the same, but understanding that godly people can still be fleshly in their actions, otherwise would have to cut out a good portion of exhortation out of the New Testament.
Amen.
And so a carnal Christian can look very much and sound very much like an unbeliever.
Right.
If they're in the flesh.
Exactly.
And so we need to take that into account when we're doing an ongoing struggle. But I agree with you. I was at that same seminar, and here is another unusual thing. I thought I was clear. But I used that two-letter word. But if, Lord, there might be someone that I need to ask for forgiveness. Sharon, it took about 30 seconds for the name to come up. And then I said, oh, but no, wait a minute. That can't be the right name because I have prayed for that person for decades. And the answer came back and said, do you still resent that person and the way they treat you? Well, I sure do. Oh, well, then I think you're a candidate for forgiving forward. So you see, sometimes when we think we're helping someone else, that we're clear of the unforgiveness. But if that person does not, if that person can create a spirit of unrest in you, you have a tendency to focus on them rather than on the Lord Jesus. You still feel, I don't always like to use feeling words, but you still feel hurt, betrayed, withdrawn. It hurts you to be in their company. If they look like they're laughing and having a great time, you almost wish they weren't. See, then you recognize that you are still in a battle, and that choice from the will has got to be a driving point. And that's what you're saying you did.
But the, yes, and there's also, you also, like you said, you didn't know. You thought you were in the clear. I thought I was in the clear, too. I thought, you know, I don't have anybody to, you know, that I'm holding unforgiveness for. And so sometimes we don't even realize.
That's right.
Who is in our heart that we have not forgiven, especially if time has passed.
Yes.
You know, and that wound you think is all healed when it's not.
Yes.
It comes up again and again. And so you and I talked before about how I didn't realize that I had unforgiveness toward myself. And sometimes we can have, unforgiveness toward ourselves and not even realize it. It comes out in our actions, in our lack of confidence, in our depression, in our bitterness, in our, in the way we respond to people. You know, it comes out in all of those ways, but we don't know what's wrong with us.
That's true.
We don't understand what's wrong with us. And so if you will just pray like you did, but if there's somebody in there that I need to forgive, Lord, please show me who they are.
Yes.
And if your name comes up, ask what do I need to forgive myself for? Because that is so important. To be able to forgive yourself is huge.
Well, as you said earlier, that you had a sense of unworthiness and failure. And yet the Lord would have argued with you that his precious blood had changed that position. Okay? And so there is a verse, and we've talked about it before, in Hebrews, where it just says that he will equip you with every good thing for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And that's what you're telling me happened to you and to myself in 2016.
Amen. All right, Janie. Well, we're out of time. Unbelievable how fast our time went by today. But we are going to be staying on this subject of ways that we can start the new year right throughout the month of January. So I hope you will join us next week, and we will continue our discussion. Have a good week, and I'll see you on Friday.
Thanks for being with us today. We had fun. We hope you did.